been preaching since about 1996. And you know, I still get nervous getting up here. You'd think after 20-some years you'd get used to it, but you don't. I still do. Also know that coming in to a new work, as we have a man coming in that will be taking over that responsibility, I know how nervous he will be in this new work because he doesn't know you and you don't really know him. And there is the get-to-know-you honeymoon phase that we all go through. I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. Every time you greet him, tell him your name. How long have me and my family been here? And I know I travel a lot with my work and talking about the children's home and preaching at congregations, especially around Missouri. So I'm not here a lot, but I still look out and I'm like, I know that face. If I see you in the store, I'll say hi, but tell me your name because I don't remember. Gatlin, I'm working on it. I'm going to remember. It's scary coming in because he doesn't know what to expect. He doesn't know us that well. The title for the lesson is Would We Fire Jesus? I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about some of the things that we've got going on in this country, on the news and on the radio and newspaper, television. You're hearing names like Sanders and Clinton, Cruz, Trump, all these things going around. I'm not telling you how to vote or what to do. I will tell you, let your conscience be a guide and look to the Bible, and when you go to vote, take your Bible with you and think about what God says before you cast your vote. And that's what I will tell you. And I think about politicians and politics. Nikita Khrushchev, she said, politicians are the same everywhere. They all promise to build a bridge, even when there's no river. There's some truth in that. And I think about how political we have become in the church. I know how scary it is to stand up here, and I know, let me stop for a second. I'm gonna step over here, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to offend someone today. I don't do it on purpose. That's not my intent, but it's going to happen, so when you're offended, catch me at the back and let's talk, okay? Because I do care about you. I care about every one of you. Even if I don't know you, I do care about you and your soul and what's going on in your life. And I won't offend just to offend, but some of these things, they need said. But we have gotten political with the preaching of the gospel and with talking with each other and even with how we treat our preacher. And I know a lot of preachers are afraid to speak on certain topics. Can you think of why that is? Why would a preacher come in and be afraid to talk about a certain issue, a certain topic? When God's Word defines what God wants very clearly, why would that happen? And you know the answer, don't you? We're afraid of offending someone. We're afraid of hurting someone. I know there is a time for tact. I know there's a time and a way to deal with certain issues. I realize that. But we've gotten so afraid Maybe we need to look at it from a different standpoint. Maybe we just can't handle someone telling us what we don't want to hear. Does anyone like to be told that they're wrong? I got to get my hand down because... Anyone here, do you just really enjoy someone to tell you that you're wrong? I don't see a single hand. No one's going to raise it and say, yeah, I really like it when people tell me I'm wrong. Because none of us do we? I want you to think about Jesus. Again, I say, Jesus didn't go around offending people just to offend people. That was not his goal, was not his purpose, was not his intent. But, brethren, could we handle the things that Jesus said? If Jesus was the preacher this morning, would we be able to handle his words? He spoke to the truth before crowds. He spoke the truth to his friends. He spoke the truth to the government. And when we really look at it, many people think that he was pretty harsh and maybe even unforgiving. So would we fire Jesus because of what others think about his preaching? Let's think about how he spoke to the crowds. He told people that they were wrong and they were living in sin. Matthew 15, he said, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" Anyone here ever been a hypocrite? I can put my hand up. I saw this thing that said, you know, if you don't go to church, I'm going to say something that offends people. I don't go to church because there's hypocrites there. You know, it's kind of like saying, I don't go to the gym because there's fat people there. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Haven't we all been a hypocrite at some time? Every one of us. Because we say that we're a Christian, we live as a Christian, we've obeyed Christ, and we make a mistake, and others know about those mistakes. We fall into something we know we shouldn't. Could we handle if Jesus came up to us, if he came up and he said, "You're a hypocrite"? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? You hypocrite. You say that you're a Christian, but you don't do it. "This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." How long would we take that? He told whole cities that they were going to hell. Matthew 11. If you want to turn to Matthew 11, I'm going to flip over and we're going to read some of chapter 12 as well. Matthew 11, starting verse 20. It says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell, for if the mighty works which had been done in you and thee had been done in Sodom, it would still be here. It would have remained until this day. So Jesus went before these cities, and he told these whole cities, you are so bad that if Tyre and Sidon had seen what was done, and if those things had been done in those cities, they would have repented in sorrow, in sackcloth and ashes. Go tell the whole city those words. Go to Capernaum and tell them, you know what? You are worse than Sodom, because if Sodom had seen these mighty works, they would still remain. God in heaven would not have destroyed them, but you've exalted yourself up here, but you are going to be cast down to hell. Let's turn over to Matthew 12. Verses 1 through 7. And at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him, and how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say to you that in this place is one greater than the temple. If you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Twice. Now I want you to think about this. Think what Jesus said. Let's just say you're in a Bible study with the preacher. And you think yourself a decent Bible student. And you're sitting across the table from the preacher and discussing something, and he disagrees with what you say, and he looks at you and he says, haven't you read? How are you going to take that? Didn't you read? Don't you read your Bible? That's what Jesus is saying. Don't you read your Bible? And then he goes on, he said, if you would have read it, then you would have understood. Implying that then they haven't, of course. Matthew 15, 15 and 16. Then answered Peter, Matthew 15, 15 and 16. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Okay. Sitting across the table from the preacher. Maybe he's already told you, haven't you read this? You're sitting there. He's trying to teach you, trying to get you to come to an understanding. He says, do you still not understand? That's what Jesus just said. Are you yet without understanding? Do you still not get it? Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can you, or ye being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Oh, you generation of vipers, you are evil. This isn't just anyone saying this. This is my Lord and Savior saying these words. Because, brethren, those words needed said. I will never presume to be on his level of being able to teach. I fall short, I know. But when I look at one example I have set for me, Jesus being God, 100% God, was also 100% man. And part of what he did, he came here to set an example of how I need to be. And I need to be bold. Matthew 12:38-39, he calls them a wicked. Let me read it. Matthew 12:38-39. Certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we should see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There should be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. You are a wicked and evil an adulterous generation. He talked about people in another way. Matthew 13:15. He said, this people's heart is hard. It's waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes, they've closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should hear them. These people are deaf, they're blind, they're hard-hearted, and if they would just open their eyes, open their ears, and open up their heart, they would be converted. But they're not, and they won't. They're stubborn. When we think about Jesus and the images that people come up with of how they portray Jesus and think that he looked like, really, he was poor. He traveled with the poor. He didn't wear a designer suit. He wasn't a businessman. He fed the poor. He communed with sinners. Some might even say, well, I guess he was bossy too. He told the disciples, come, follow me. Matthew 4:18-19. Matthew 3, he told John to baptize him. He told the people to repent. He expected things to be God's way and the way that God had said for them to be. Matthew 19:4. He told Peter in Matthew 26, you're going to deny me. No, I won't. Yes, I will. Yes, you will. Oh, no, that's not going to happen. Yes, you will. Anyone like being told what they're going to do or what they're thinking? I've got one girl that you tell her what she's thinking, what she's feeling, and you're going to have a battle. I don't like it either. Peter, you're going to deny me. No, I won't. One of the instances that kind of gets me, and I get to thinking about it, is in Matthew 8. Think about what Jesus said here. Matthew 8, 21 and 22, another of his disciples said to him, now this is one of his disciples, the one that's been following him, listening to him, Lord, allow me or suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, follow me, let the dead bury the dead. You know what Jesus was saying here? The work that we have is more important than personal feelings. The work that we have is more important. Sometimes we will come across as harsh. Sometimes people will take us wrong. When our new preacher gets here, there may be some things that come out of his mouth that we take wrong. Let's make sure that we're patient with him and work with him. And be understanding that he is just a man like the rest of us, making mistakes. He's got a family to take care of, just like many of us. That maybe we will misunderstand him, the words that he says, or even the phrases. I have a friend that moved from Pocahontas, Arkansas, to Duluth, Minnesota. I'm sorry. Yes, he was in Duluth. And a brother asked him, he said, would you help me fix my car? I know you know a little bit about that type of thing. I'm having car problems. Could you come over to my house? And the brother said, well, I don't care to. And a week or so later, he talked to that brother, and he said, why didn't you call me? I see your car is running. He said, you said you didn't want to come. He said, no, I said I wouldn't care to. He said, yeah, exactly. Think about this. A phrase some in one place means something else in another place. We need to be very careful. If we think that we misunderstand something, then let's talk to our new preacher and say, hey, I heard you say this. Did I understand you to mean this, or am I misunderstanding you? Brethren, the other thing that goes along with this is we need to be concerned about what's important. And that is spreading God's word. That is more important than what we personally want to do. I forget that at times. I do. We need to spend time in the Bible so that no one can look at us and go, well, have you not read? Do you still not understand? Not going to ask you. But here's what I'm going to tell you. This afternoon, I know there's something important going on this afternoon. This afternoon, open up your Bible for 5 minutes and read a passage. Doesn't have to be very long. Close your Bible and think about it for 5 minutes. And then open it back up, and I'll read a couple of passages before and after. And then think about what's said there. If you don't understand a word, look it up. If you don't understand what was going on, go back a chapter, go to the beginning of the book. It can be your favorite passage. I don't care. And you come back tonight, and you find someone, and you grab them and say, Mr. Ken, this is what I studied this afternoon. Look what I learned. Hey, Terry, guess what? I learned that. I didn't even know this. You know what will happen? Those of us that do that, now, I know that you're going to be here tonight, right? Because that thing that's going on this afternoon, I know it's really important. But I tell you what, if you're not here, I'm not going to be here either. And I'm scheduled to preach. So, if you're not going to be here, I won't either. Does that work? Told you I was going to offend you. What got quiet? Study something. 10 minutes. I love reading the Bible every night with my girls. When it's late and we're looking at the clock going, you know what we do? We go, this is important. We've got to do this. And we read it and we discuss it. And I ask the girls questions about it. And it's exciting for me because I learn as well. I want them to learn, but I'm learning. Really cool thing, I didn't know. 2 Corinthians. Now I think of Paul. Just your average guy, right? You know what Paul says about himself? There in chapter 10. He asks, he says, do you think about the outward appearance? Is that what you judge on? You get my letters, and they're powerful, and they're weighty, and you think about these things, but then when I come in person, well, I'm not that great. It even says his speech is contemptible. Can't even talk really well. I'm nothing to look at. But you read my letters, and he's commending them. Because of 1 Corinthians, I told you to do these things. And instead of getting upset, what did that congregation do? They fixed them. And then in 2 Corinthians, he commends them for fixing those things. And there's a lot. Every chapter is devoted to something else they're doing wrong. How would we handle a letter today? What are we looking at? 16 chapters? And every single chapter, every page of that, you know, in Marshfield, you guys are doing this wrong. And this, 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 and that one too. How would we take it? You know how they took it? You know, Paul, you're right. So let's fix it. And so his next letter is some other things they need to work on. But it's encouragement and how proud he is of them for being sorrowful with a godly sorrow and fixing those things. So rather than whenever you're confronted with things that might offend or seem harsh or in your face, you have two choices. You can take it to heart, you can get upset, you can blow up, right? Or you can go, hey, maybe that person's right. Maybe I haven't read, maybe I haven't studied. Jesus brought these things up to get people to focus on God's Word. What do we want to happen? In Marshfield, Missouri. Do we want a preacher that comes in and pats us on the back and says, good job, you don't need to fix anything, let's just keep going? Because that's not what I want. I want someone that says, hey, Brian, you're doing this well. Now, you need to do this. When you did that, you shouldn't have done it that way. not easy to lay pride aside, is it? Set it over there and go, okay, I'm gonna put my pride over there, and I'm going to humble myself. And I'm going to take the time to read and study God's Word so that I can be what I need to be for God. I'm going to take 20 minutes this afternoon. Now, when I say, and I ask you, and I tell, I'm sorry, I use the word ask. I'm not asking. I'm telling you. Do this. And I'm going to do this as well. Take a few minutes, read something, come back this afternoon, grab someone and say, this is what I studied. Guess who's preaching tonight? Guess who's going to ask you if you did it or not? Don't stay home for that. Brethren, would we fire Jesus? There are a lot of congregations that would. Many would say, well, that's enough of that. Matthew 12, 28 through 31. Starting verse 27. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, so we know this is Jesus speaking, neither tell you, or tell I you, by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went, and he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them, twain, the two, did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you. Now he's talking to the spiritual leaders. If you look over to verse 23, he's talking to the chief priests and the elders of the people. Verily I say unto you, verse 31, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Do you think that offended them at all? Jesus was teaching, and he was bold. The publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. You, the scribes, who should have known the law better than anyone because they had copied it over and over and over. And the elders of the people, these spiritual leaders, Jesus said, the publicans and harlots are going to enter the kingdom of God before you do. When I became a Christian, Jesus' command for all to go was for me. And I said that I would, not with those words, but by my actions. We sing the song sometimes, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. When this community sees Jesus in my life, because I take the time to read and study so that no one can sit across the table from me and say, well, have you not read? Are you still without understanding? When they see that I've spent the time reading and studying, and they see Jesus in my life, they are going to want to know more about this Jesus. This Jesus that I know. Brethren, it is not time to shy away from boldness. It is not time to be offended because someone tells me the truth. It is time to take those things that I hear, take them in, make them a part of me so that I can be a better servant to God. If you have not been baptized into Christ, do so while you still have opportunity. In Acts 22:16, when Paul is recounting his conversion story, Ananias did not say to him, "Hey, Saul, you ever thought about being baptized?" What did he tell him? He said, "Go. Arise. Get up and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." I may have flip-flopped some of that. It's all there. And say, "Hey, think maybe you ought to do this?" No, you get up and do this. I'm telling you, if you've not been baptized into Christ, you understand God's Word and who God is. What are you waiting for? Are you trying to keep some sin in your life that you're just really enjoying, not ready to let go of? Then get rid of it and obey God. Wash away your sins and stop turning away Jesus. If you have not been baptized into Christ, then you are in sin and you have no hope and you cannot go to heaven. And there's only one other alternative, isn't there? If you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. If you've not become a child of God by being washed in the blood of Christ, nothing else God can do for you. He's made His plan available. He's made it simple. And it is available for everyone. And there is nothing that you can do that is so hideous that God will not forgive you. It might be that you've done that. You've become a child of God and you've stumbled. You know what? The rest of us have too at times. And I feel like there are days when every day I have to ask God to forgive me for what I did the day before. For that evening, I have to ask God to forgive me because of what I had done that day. So if you've stumbled, you're no different than anyone else. But it might be you need some encouragement. Come, we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. It might be that you've done something everyone knows about, and you need to let everyone know, "That's not the person I am anymore. I've stopped. And I need you to ask God to forgive me. I need God to forgive me for this." And you to recognize that I'm not doing those things anymore. If you have a need, there's no better time than right now, because you have right now to make it right.